Hi club members, how are you? What can I do for you today? As opposed to, hi club members, welcome. What can I do for you today? The way we receptionists welcome in clients physically into our practice or over the phone makes an enormous difference when we bring big time energy to that space. That's what this week's live session is all about. I've been moving through this over many years with many dental practices. It is one area that is done very well when there's been a lot of role play done about it. So I'm standing up. It's going to be a lot of action that you're going to be seeing from me today. And my desk is all wound up to be a standing position as well. What I do suggest is that all dental receptionists and team members have a look at this live session, because if you're a brand new dental receptionist, you may be falling into that trap that many young people do. They are a little bit more quiet, a little bit more reserved, simply because you haven't had the confidence of doing that front desk thing for many, many years. I'm going to teach you how to fast track that level of self-confidence. Even if you're an established receptionist and you have got your way of welcoming people into your practice in person or over the phone, this may be helpful to allow you to inject a little bit more enthusiasm, a little bit more energy into what you do, and help that other person feel enormously impressed and welcome into your practice. Even if you are a receptionist that's been around the block, you've been there for decades and forever, and you've got a magnificent high energy way of bringing patients into your space, this is going to be a lovely reminder that you're on the right track and keep on doing it. But before we get stuck into the topic of today, let's do our usual. Let's go to our Trello board. We'll go to our next communication column. Here we are up the top. Clicking into today, and you can see there that our topic is all about getting that welcome, that powerful welcome for receptionists to deliver that to all the patients that are coming in and calling in. We'll then be finishing off with our daily focus for this coming week. Now, what I'm going to be doing for you today is supplying you also with scripts. Scripts of what to say when patients first walk in, scripts of what to say when patients first call in, and how to make them really high energy. Then I strongly encourage you, role play this out. Now, sometimes you can feel a little bit foolish doing role plays, and I get it. You're being scrutinized, you're performing in front of people, but I encourage you to download the role play guide that I've created for you. And that gives you a framework and some guidelines to work with to make sure it's a very fun and supportive and learning space. The crucial element to the role play is that we get experience of having done something that we haven't done before, and we repeat, log in a few experiences of the doing. So next time we're called upon to enact, to roll out that particular behavior or action, it's far easier for us because we've done it all before. It's tricky when you are told, say this at the next time that patient walks through the front door, and then you go about your business, and then the next patient walks through the front door and you're like, oh, what was I supposed to say again? A couple of seconds, long seconds, roll by and you go back to your default because that's what you know. That's what you've practiced. So in order to overcome that hurdle, whenever you are helping team members or you are a team member needing to adopt a new way of doing things, a new way of saying something, a new way of approaching a patient, it is crucial and it will be enormously beneficial if you role play it out. Role playing it out doesn't just give you the experience for having done it, but it also helps you become very comfortable with the verbiage, how you're saying it, your body language when you're saying it, and you're overcoming any little hurdles in getting that thing done. And one example is, let's just say that you said to a receptionist, I want you to say this next time a new patient comes in through the front door. And then I want you to give them the new patient form, and you go, okay, I got it. I'm new in the role, don't know much about anything, but I've got it. And so the patient comes through the front door, you say, welcome, my name is Julie, how can I help you? and they say, I'm the new patient, and you go, fantastic, I'll just get you a form. I'm not quite sure where they're kept. So that's a really basic example of the minor little things that happen along the way in real life that can be identified during a role play that can be then solved during the role play. So in the real life version, it's rolled out really smoothly. Yep, I know where those new patient forms are. I identified where they were when I did my role play. Here we go. So role playing has an enormous impact on your ability to learn and adopt a new skill. Because as club members would know from things I've said in the past, we all want to be on a constant and never-ending journey of improvement, both in our practices that we work in and within our roles within those practices, but also in life. We want to progress. I know for myself, if I go 10 years down the track and become 60, oh God, I want to be able to say I'm a better person now than I was 10 years ago at 50. I've actually improved, increased, expanded my skills. That's what I want. I hope everyone else wants that as well. But in order to improve, a few things need to happen. Number one, we need to identify the areas that require improvement. And that means getting comfortable with delivering and receiving feedback in the working environment. That's concentrated on in past the club sessions and in future ones as well. I'll tell you how to go ahead and do that. The next thing that needs to happen in order for us to be on this constant and never-ending improvement journey is the embracing of the fact, not the possibility, but the fact we're going to make mistakes along the way. Mistakes are part of having tried, of learning something new. There is nothing in your life that you've learned that you have done without making any mistakes. So let's just face the fact that mistakes are part of that journey. You can't have a culture of learning and mistake-free within the same working environment. They couple together hand in hand. The third thing that needs to happen in order to be on a path of constant and never-ending improvement is that we need the ability to practice and repeat the new thing. That is our way of tweaking and modifying how we do the thing so we become masters of it. So it becomes like second nature. The first role play is going to be welcoming a patient, a visitor, and anybody into your practice. And scripts will be provided within the Trello card and attached to the lesson here as well. So you can download those scripts so you can role play it yourself. If you are too shy to do role plays, I suggest you do it by yourself at home in front of your iPhone video camera. We are all our own worst critic, and you will improve beyond measure if you do that on a regular basis. So set yourself up at home, just like I'm setting myself up here. Plonk the video camera in front of you. Do the thing a few different times. Watch yourself back, and you can see whether your energy is right, whether you are speaking too fast or too soft, whether you are being over the top. Hello, welcome. So the first thing I want to do is I'm going to tackle one of the things that is very current right now, and that is the sneeze screen that we all must have at reception nowadays because of the pandemic. This sneeze screen we're coming across everywhere, and I think we've all been caught in the situation where the person on the other side is talking to us, we can't hear what they're saying, and especially so when everyone's got masks on as well. So this makes it even more important to make sure that you are being heard. So my first lesson to you is, if your voice is soft, if you are naturally a softly spoken person, we need to get a bit more energy behind that voice. And I don't mean start to scream. I mean project your voice. So a great way of doing that is speaking to the person, not as if they're standing where they are, but that they're standing way beyond where they are. For example, if I'm speaking to you here now, if I just wanted to be heard just by you, and sometimes that's the way we speak to people, just so that person can hear us, I would just be speaking to you like this. But if I was in my hallway, and I spoke the same way, you wouldn't be able to hear me as well. But if I was speaking to you from here to the camera, I have to project my voice to be able to do so. And this is the kind of projection we're talking about. Projecting your voice so you are speaking to the person beyond where they're standing will help you have that strong voice that can be easily heard through sneeze screens, through masks. Another thing that I've got to tell you, every single time I do this role play with people, they truly get it. They feel something within themselves. The first thing I do, I say to the receptionist, you pretend you're a patient walking in to the reception area. I will be a wonderful receptionist that's doing everything adequately. So come on in. And they walk in the door. I know they're walking in the door. I can hear the door open. Most of us can. They're walking in the door. I don't have to look up just yet because they're not right in front of me just yet. And so I'm doing the right thing. I'm just finishing off my work. And then I say, hi there, how are you? Welcome to the practice. How can I help you? And that feels a certain way. And so I say to the receptionist who's acting the role of the patient, now go back out and we'll do it again. They go back out the door. And the minute I hear that door go, the minute my peripheral vision picks up any movement at that front door, I'm snapping my head up straight away with a big smile. Hi there, how are you? Welcome, come on in. How can I help you? And that instant acknowledgement, friendly acknowledgement, welcoming acknowledgement, I say to the receptionists who are playing the role of the patient, did that feel different? And they all go, absolutely, that felt different. And so even though both ways are completely adequate, one is supercharged. One is making that patient feel they are in the right place and you're the one to speak to, regardless of all these sneeze screen barriers and everything else like that. Even without the sneeze screen barriers and masks, that is the way I believe we welcome patients in when we're trying to portray to a patient, we're an above average practice here. You haven't just come into any old practice. You're not used to this kind of service. Here, we really care. Here, we're enthusiastic about having you walk in through our front door. And so role play that. Use the script that it's such a simple script. And you just, I know that sometimes I will say to people, here's a script. And they say, I don't want to sound practiced or rehearsed or scripted. And I say, that's totally groovy and fine. You can tweak these things to whatever feels right for you. But just remember that whenever you say anything new for the first time, it's always going to feel foreign. The thing that stops things feeling foreign is practice, repetition, practice, repetition. And if you are the receptionist at your practice, I suggest you put yourself in the position of the patient and have the dental nurse, hygienist, dentist act the role of receptionist. Play around with how quickly you acknowledge someone's presence in front of you, and you will also feel it within yourself that it feels truly right and wonderful when you're acknowledged the minute you walk into that person's space. Not just close enough, the minute you walk into that person's space. So role play it out. Practice your big, strong voice. Really, it's just so powerful. Always remember that there is always going to be patients coming into your presence that can't hear terribly well. Worse so now, again, with all the barriers, but even under normal circumstances, they may be hard of hearing. And when people are hard of hearing, you don't start yelling at them. You speak more strongly. You project your voice more so and have that nice, low, strong voice. So you are well understood. And so patients feel comfortable and relaxed speaking with you because they can hear you, they can understand you, and you are devoting all your care and attention and energy towards them. So with that welcome, it's instant eye contact. The minute you have a sense that someone's coming, have a look around, you want the instant eye contact. It's the first 4 seconds. The first 4 seconds is all it takes for us to make a decision about what that person is, whether they're friendly, nice, professional, what have you. So it only takes 4 seconds for us to form an opinion about somebody. 4 seconds, it's not very long. People are so harsh and judgmental on us. But we've got control over those 4 seconds. So second number one is eye contact. Second number two, a big broad smile. Nothing more welcoming than a big broad smile. Put a lot of energy behind that one. Second, number three, body language. Turn your attention to this very important person that's walked into your space. And second, number four, say something welcoming, like welcome. One, two, three, welcome. You don't have to go over the top. I know I'm exaggerating a little bit, but really only a little bit. When you are an enthusiastic welcomer of people into your practice, they instantly feel at ease. And as I say, they instantly feel like they're in the right spot. And you've developed rapport quickly, and you've developed likability for you quickly as well. So keep role playing it out, practicing by yourself in your car on the way home and to work. Start using that big strong voice. Start singing songs out loud. Find that voice that comes from down in your belly. Not from up here, down in your belly. So practice that. It's going to be a winner for you going on long term within your reception role. The next element is, how do we welcome somebody over the phone when they're not in front of us physically? Again, the first 4 seconds play a role. The first second is swiftness in answering that telephone call. I know that some places say it must ring twice before you answer, otherwise it sounds like you've got nothing to do or freaks the patient out. But I don't think so. Really, I've developed the habit of the minute that phone rings, I'm answering it. That's because I'm enthusiastic. I've got high energy. Of course, I'm going to answer that phone the minute it rings. The opposite is terrible, of course, that we hate having that phone ring and ring and ring. One, it makes the patient worry how busy you are and how well you'll be looked after. Two, it's bad for other patients in the practice and staff members in the practice go, gosh, is the receptionist there? Has she gone to the bathroom? Do I need to run out and answer that phone? Who's gonna answer that phone? Ask the phone! But I don't see any issue with answering that phone really quickly. So, ring, ring. And that's second number one, your swiftness in answering the phone. Second number two, again, smile. Every communication course that talks about telephone work that you attend will all say the same thing. They'll start off by saying smile, because you can hear a smile over the phone, and they say that because it's absolutely correct. So definitely smile when you are speaking on the phone to somebody. So answer the phone swiftly, smile, and a great opening line. And just like when they're in front of you in person, body language. We want to make sure that we're devoting our time onto that phone call. They'll be able to hear if we're distracted or doing something else at the same time. So when you wedge it and you're still typing, you're doing this and you're doing that, and I've got to do this and da da da, they can hear that. So answer it swiftly, smile. Make sure your body language is all focused on that telephone call. And if you're a newer receptionist, I do suggest that that's the time to bring out your telephone answering sheet, because that's the time that you're going to have pen in hand, the paper in front of you, all the attention just on that caller. And then a great opening line. Dental surgery, Julie speaking. How can I help you? Now, with the energy behind the telephone, the answering of the telephone, let me just stand out of camera shot so I can show you the difference. I'm going to be answering the phone perfectly, adequately. And then I'm going to inject a little bit more personality, pizzazz into it so you can hear the difference. Ring, ring. Dental surgery, Julie speaking. How can I help you? Perfectly adequate. Ring, ring. Dental surgery, Julie speaking. How can I help you? Little bit, just a little bit more pizzazz. And it just sounds a little bit more friendly, a little bit more rapport building, a little bit more like, I think I've called the right place. That's what we want from all our patients. I think I've called the right place. I think I've gone to the right place. I think I continue to go to the right place. This is the place for me. And so injecting that little bit more friendliness, enthusiasm into that welcome over the telephone can make a big difference from the patient's perspective. Again, you can role play that really easily. Now, when you have patients call you, what we're trying to indicate to them, as well as when they come in through the front door, is that you are the person with the solutions, and you are the person with the solutions. You're the gap, you're the link between that person needing an appointment time and that person getting an appointment time, that person needing the dentist and that person seeing the dentist, or getting my OPG referral emailed out to me, or providing me that specialist phone number that I've lost somewhere and I don't know where it is. So you end up being the solutions person. So always in your communication, indicate to them that you got all the answers, because you don't need all the answers, because you know you can get all the answers when you need them. So you can be that solutions person. Also, build rapport over the phone, especially when that person's ringing up with a particular trouble. Now, one of the situations, I was listening to some telephone calls, recordings of a particular practice, and one of the things that I heard was a person ringing up, they've had a toothache. I've never been to you before. Or so they didn't actually say, I've never been to you before. They rang up and they said, I've got an issue. I can't remember if it was a toothache or a broken tooth, but I'm ringing up because I've got an issue. And the first thing out of the person's mouth, the receptionist's mouth, was, have you been here before? Now that question, even though it may not be intended in this way, the intention might be, because if you have, I'll just look up your details so I can familiarize myself with your particular oral condition. But what it sounds like to the patient is, are they not going to see me because I haven't been there before? And so it makes them doubt. And so whenever somebody rings up with a toothache or a broken tooth, an emergency of any kind, that's a beautiful opportunity for you to really get some empathy going. Rather than just say, oh, like a fact, oh, you have a toothache. No, for the patient, it's, I've got a toothache. This is interrupting my day. I can't go to work. I've got to find an appointment time. I don't have money for the appointment time. That could mean all sorts of things. But it's not just an everyday thing for them. For you, it's an everyday thing. But for them, it's not an everyday thing. And so when someone rings up, I'm in a bit of trouble. Oh, really? I'm so sorry to hear that. Tell me more about that. Now, tell me more about that helps them think, this person's going to help me. They're interested in what's going on for me. It also gives them the permission that sometimes they need in order to think to themselves, oh, I can deliver my problem to this person. I can tell this person all about my problem. It also gives you more information so you can book the appropriate time with the appropriate dentist on the appropriate day. So it gives you an enormous amount of information too. And so just going straight to looking for an appointment time is something I don't suggest. I do suggest saying to them, tell me more about that. Now, once you've indicated to them that you are empathetic to their issue, that you're interested in their issue, and then you can actually say to them, I can certainly help you out with that. Now tell me, have you been here before? You're reassuring them. It doesn't matter if you've been here before or not. Just, I'm still going to look after you. I've told you I'm going to look after you. You could say to them, and I'll pop this in the scripts as well, oh gosh, I'm so sorry you've had a sleepless night with that toothache. It sounds terrible. I will certainly be able to help you out. Now tell me, have you got your records here? Can I look you up, or are you a fresh patient here? And that removes that anxiety for the patient that I may not be able to be seen because I'm not an existing patient for them. Also, one of the other recordings that I was listening to was an existing patient ringing up saying, my temporary crown's come off. I was in a week ago to have a crown prep. Now the temporary crown's popped off. Can I be seen? And the receptionist went to, we're just very full today. If it's an existing patient and it's that sort of situation where you're monitoring, it's ongoing thing, it's an issue that you've already looked at, that we're looking at again, we have to really take that responsibility on board. And what the patient wants to hear is, of course, we put the temporary on, the temporary came off, we know that that's a risk, that's no issue there, but of course we're going to get that back on again. You can say to a patient, oh, for sure, we'll get you seen, no dramas. You don't have to have the answers straight away. If your book is the schedule is full, just say to them, look, I can't see any opportunity. I can't see the best opportunity to put you in. I've got your number here. Or you can say, let me know what your number is. I'm going to have a chat with the dentist in a few moments and give you a call back. Is that okay? Even if you don't need to speak to the dentist themselves, it gives you a lovely few moments of just clear headspace to assess everything. Oh, actually, that patient never turns up to their appointment time and they haven't been confirmed. I'll ring them quickly, make sure they're coming. Or I literally can't find any spot. I am going to go to the dentist. And that dentist, if they're the one that put that temporary crown on, they'll be thinking, yes, I got to get that temporary crown back on again. I'm going to make time. And they'll tell you which time to bring that patient back in again. Now, even if it's a regular patient just ringing up for something very standard, such as a recall, we still want to build that rapport, that friendliness, that of course you've called the right place and we're the people for you. So when they ring up and say, I'd like to book an appointment time just for a general checkup and clean, rather than go, sure, Tuesday next week at 2 o'clock, we've got free, to say, oh, fantastic. I hope you've been good over the last few months. How have you been coping during the pandemic? Or how's your mouth been feeling over the last 6 months? As you're going into the appointment book and trying to find a spot. So building additional conversation, additional rapport, friendliness, empathy. Yes, you've called the right place. Yes, I'm the one with all the answers for you. It is something that will be practiced at the start, and then you'll repeat it, repeat it, repeat it over your career, and you'll become very good at it. And you won't realize how much you've grown and developed in that space, usually until other people say, you know what, you're sounding awesome on the phone. Or patients will say, I love ringing you because you always sound so happy, because you always help me. And the changes that we see within ourselves are small and incremental. They can be larger and more resounding when you role play like crazy and you get that practice under your belt and you get very comfortable with the stuff that you're saying and how you're saying it. And it starts to become a second nature thing for you. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in the industry and it doesn't matter how long you've been in that role. You can always improve. There's room for improvement for everybody. I wish you good luck with it. If you need any additional scripts or videos of this kind, please let me know. I would be thrilled to supply them in a future live session. Now, let's go and have a look at the daily focus for this coming week. So our daily focus for this coming week, just quickly reflecting back over the previous weeks, as you know, we have been working off Charles Coves's 7 strategies for passionate performance. And in week number 1, we had prepare your goals for mind, body, and spirit. In week 2 was accept your reality. Week 3, self-knowledge. Week 4, stuff up, be courageous. Last week was I am unique. This coming week is own learning, growth, and development. And Charles encourages us to invest 5% of our time and 5% of our money into learning, growth, and development of ourselves. And here are just a few ideas of how you can spend that 5% of time and 5% of your money. Read books, listen to podcasts. There's podcasts on everything nowadays. Take online courses, such as the JPPS online courses. You have all got access to that. Utilize that. They're all mini courses. They take about an hour to an hour and a half to do. So if you do them, you'll certainly be well on the road to improving performance in a passionate way. Listen to the Charles Coves show. He's constantly prompting us to think differently, and I've provided the link there. It's a podcast that comes out every week. Take a class in something, learn something new, gardening, cooking, an instrument, a language. Go to seminars and presentations, and do go to seminars and presentations on topics that wouldn't normally interest you. Expand your mind and horizons out. And join a club. One of the best clubs I've ever joined was Toastmasters. It really did help me understand how to communicate effectively when talking in front of a group, but it helped enormously to be able to talk to people one-on-one, recognize that I was speaking a little bit too fast, I was a bit soft in my voice, stuff that we're talking about just today in today's live session. And so that is your daily focus for this coming week. I hope you have fun with it. Have a fantastic week, everybody, and I do look forward to seeing you next time. See you later.